just to give you an update, on the website, Chip needs oil. On the website, I'm sorry, not on the website, on our Facebook page, I will be posting Good Friday service and the service today, this morning service. If you ever want to, if you have insomnia, you can't sleep, you can go back to it and listen to the message. But just to let you know, we have those resources. Today is Resurrection Sunday, right? Listen, here's the deal. Every Sunday for a born-again Christian is Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday. Jesus changed the Sabbath, if you will. Why did he change it? He rose on Sunday, first day of the week. So the church, from its inception 40 days later at Pentecost, said, look, we want to celebrate the resurrection every week. Because if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, our faith would be dead. So we're going to celebrate it every week. I was out in Pennsylvania where we were by Lancaster, and there was a church sign. And I thought it was rather ingenious. And I know it caught on. Other churches that have signs have used this. After Easter, they'll say, come to church Sunday, pretend it's Easter. Because people who don't normally go to church will come to church on Easter, you know? But every Sunday, for those who know Christ as personal Lord and Savior, it's Resurrection Sunday. Mm-hmm. We should celebrate it. We should celebrate it loudly. And we should never, ever keep quiet that our Savior has conquered sin, death, and Satan. So are you ready to praise him? Christ the Lord is risen today. Would you stand, please? Chip?
Morning, church. God is good. So our history is riddled with the goodness of God and the failure of man. From the beginning, God shed his grace upon us, and in return, we have turned our backs on him. Adam brought sin and death to the world in the fall. God sent his Son into the world to cut a new covenant, and by his death, Jesus brought salvation and eternal light to the world. The gates of heaven are open, brothers and sisters, and our faith will guide us through them. Christ is risen indeed.
Jesus.
risen, Christ will come again. God and Savior came to earth to show us the way, capital W, the way. Praise his name, and let's all sing.
To be.
Christ went through unimaginable pain and suffering because he loved us. He was nailed to the cross and died because of us. Satan was dancing because he thought he had won the battle. Jesus rose from the dead and wiped that smile right from Satan's face. Only God, only a God who is worthy, would do this for us. And God is worthy.
On this Easter, on this Easter morning, again, I stay away from politics in the church because God is not Republican or Democrat. So listen to what I'm going to say carefully, and I'm sharing this with you only because I pray for our service people. I pray for Israel. And we know that there's a war going on. I heard this morning that the second pilot was found.
Yes.
So, you know, grateful for that. It's a great Easter gift. He was injured, but my understanding is not life-threatening. And I'm just glad he didn't fall into the hands of the enemy. So, you know, things to be grateful for. Glad for his family. You know, it had to be great news to the family on an Easter day. So, and you know, Chip started the service off good. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It seems to me that we do more complaining than rejoicing. Did you ever notice that complaining seems to come naturally? That's because of our sin nature that we battle with, right? But rejoicing is something that should be genuine, and it's only genuine when we submit to the Spirit of God and the Word of God and are directed by the Word. And then we can give thanks to God no matter what, even if the sky is falling, as Chicken Little would say, right? And I know some people are so programmed to think that if they have no problems, they're happy, right? Well, listen, I never say to people, go out and find problems. They'll find you. You all know that. Life is going to be a problem sometimes. But if you are a born-again believer, God will never give up on you. Don't give up on him. He'll see you through. He'll see you through. Can you imagine the patience of that pilot? I mean, he was separated for what, 4 days? In enemy territory, and with the enemy looking for him. And if he had given up, all hope would have been lost. If the disciples of Jesus Christ had given up at the crucifixion, they would have robbed themselves of the best blessing, seen the grave empty. So there's a lot to be said about God. And some people say, well, God's not interested in my life. Yes, he is. He loved you so much, he sent his son to die for you. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I just wanted to report the good news that the pilot was found. And I'm, you know, grateful for that. Grateful for that. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, thank you for the opportunity to come. We met freely in a public place this morning, and we gave praise to our great God who rose Jesus Christ from the dead. Thank you that we have that freedom. I thank you that we have the freedom to meet here freely, and that we can openly proclaim that Jesus is alive, that Jesus still is willing to grant forgiveness for those who trust in him. And so, Father, it is with a grateful and thanks heart of thanksgiving that we come and give praise on this special day. But, Lord, I pray that we come to each Sunday as a resurrection Sunday. Lord, I'm going to ask that you bless this time. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to what you would have for us this morning, whether it's through music, through prayer, through the preaching of the word. We want our Lord Jesus to be lifted up and glorified. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would the people help with the collection? Please come forward. One of the ways that we worship is through giving. And giving is important, you know, and that's between you and the Lord. I don't know what anybody gives. I never want to know what anybody gives. That's between you and the Lord. But worship says that when we worship, there should be some sacrifice with that. Sacrifice of our time. Sacrifice of our finances. Sacrifice of our service. And so we give to the work of the kingdom so others can come to know the Lord. That's the primary purpose. So we're going to wait upon you now for the offering. I'll pray for the offering. So would you join me again in prayer? Father, thank you so much for how you have provided for this ministry and continue to provide. Thank you for keeping the rain this morning away from us, that we can experience a beautiful sunrise service. And Father, I ask that as we give to the work of the kingdom, would you bless both the gift and the giver? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you know the account of the resurrection day. I'm going to read it for you in a minute. Just because you may be a born-again believer, you've trusted by faith in Christ alone for your forgiveness of sins and your salvation, doesn't mean that we don't sin anymore. Is that correct? We battle with sin every day, and that's why Jesus offers us that gift of confession. Come before him, confess our sins. And the scripture says he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession should be a daily thing. Sometimes for me, it's about 5 times a day. I don't know about you. But we all face temptations. The other thing that I really want to emphasize today is something that's been happening in the modern church. When I say modern, I'm talking about the American church. Not all churches, but many. And it's this idea that when we put our faith in Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that we're done with Christ then. We got our get out of hell card free. And that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that's the beginning of a journey. That's the beginning of a journey. If you're truly born again, the day you give your life to Christ by faith alone, you start on a journey. What does that mean? That means we're called to live for him then, to glorify him in everything we do. Now, I know that we're not perfect and that we are going to sin, and so does God, okay? But in the modern church today, I'm seeing sin that is high-handed among professing believers. Things they're doing and saying it's okay, God's okay with it, he's not. He's not okay with it. And so we are in this malaise kind of thing of making God in our own image instead of saying to God, Lord, what did your word say about all of this? What does it say? You follow me right now? Okay. I mean, I see this all too often. And as a result, I see professing believers making bad decisions. Decisions that, even though you're a born-again believer, you make a bad decision, the consequences don't go away. You can confess it, but the consequences don't go away. The consequences are there so that we learn. Now, that's not talked about much about anymore in church, isn't it? Ought to be. Because most of the problems that we face, we bring on ourselves. Am I the only one in that club? Okay? It's true, right? Listen, the one who created us knows what's best for us. And what's best for us is all right here. So I want to talk to you this morning, after I read the account of the women going to the tomb, I want to look at it at this from Peter's perspective. You know, the Apostle Peter, right? the guy who suffers from foot and mouth disease. He speaks before he thinks. He gets himself into trouble. In fact, when they came to arrest Jesus, what did Peter do? He cut off one of the ears of the soldiers. And Jesus told him, it's not the way, Peter. Put your sword back. And Jesus, in his mercy, restored the ear to the soldier. I wish I knew more about that soldier, about what he thought at that point. But we don't. We just know it happened. I want to suggest to you, Peter, as a believer, had one of the biggest failures. Didn't he? The night that Christ got arrested, he denied him three times. It was prophesied. Jesus prophesied that he would deny him three times. He wasn't the only one, by the way. The other disciples, they lost their backbone in that time. And I understand that. I mean, you know, I'm not coming down hard on them. And they scattered. They were afraid. I get that. There's something special about why God allows the account of Peter to be in the Gospels. And I think the reason is to encourage us. Because at many points, we all fail. But God stands ready to restore. Are you okay with that? All right? So let me read from Luke chapter 24. This is the account of the first Easter morning, if you will, Resurrection Day. On the first day of the week, which is Sunday, very early in the morning, some of you did that this morning, right? Very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found a stone rolled away from the tomb. By the way, that was rolled away by a miracle, by an angel. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. These were probably angels. In their fright, can you imagine? These two men, you would think they had batteries in their clothes. It was bright, but it frightened them. I would be frightened too. They asked the key question, why do you look for the living among the dead? The tomb was empty, right? Then they said, he is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. That word remember is key, right? Sometimes we have to be reminded, if you're like me, I have to be reminded a lot. I tend to take a lot of things for granted. What the angels are saying here is this. Jesus didn't lie to you. He didn't deceive you. This is no magic trick. He's alive. He's alive. I said, we talked this morning about misinformation that runs rampant in our culture these days. And I could tell you that the resurrection is the most documented event in history. If you ever doubt it, read some of the historians, Josephus and others of the time. Well documented. Now, they may not get the spiritual implication of it, but the grave was empty. And then you get into the politics, right? The governor to try to cover his own backside, says, yeah. Well, the disciples must have taken him. No, they couldn't have. The grave was sealed. Remember that he sealed it? And that rock didn't have to be rolled away for Jesus to get out. He would have gotten out whether that rock was there or not because he had his resurrected body. He was risen, just as he told them. How many times in the 3.5 years that Jesus was with his disciples, he tried to prepare them to say, I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. In fact, if they knew the Old Testament, they would have known he was going to be crucified between two criminals. Tried to tell them, try to prepare them. Even in that last week, he tried to prepare them. But they didn't want to hear it. I mean, they loved him. I could understand that. But they didn't want to hear it. And what was the result? When they came to arrest them, they all scattered. Except for the women. Except for the women. We talked about that today. What happened after the resurrection, on Resurrection Day, was significant. Peter, before the cross, in the distance, as Jesus was walking to Golgotha, the site of where he was crucified, Jesus looked at him after the third denial, and the scripture says that Peter wept bitterly because he knew he had betrayed a friend. Not only a friend, but his Savior. After the resurrection, this is the miraculous thing. You want to see grace in action. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. After the resurrection, the ladies were directed to tell Peter and the rest of the disciples to go into Galilee and that Christ would meet them there in his resurrected form, of course, but he would meet them there. And something happened at that meeting. At that meeting, Jesus, with the help of the Apostle John, restored Peter and forgave him. Isn't that incredible? Not only did he restore him, but Peter went on to be an apostle who was so effective in the early church. He and Paul were probably the two primary apostles that were very effective. One, the apostle to the Jews, that's Peter, and Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter knew that was an incredible act of grace. Jesus didn't have to do that, but he said, Peter, I love you. Even though you denied me, Peter, I love you. All you need to do is repent, turn away from that denial, and confess it. Peter did it. He was restored. The resurrection became very important to Peter, and should be very important to us. And I'm going to read from his letter. It's just three verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. If you're like me, you read these verses, you say, this can't be the guy who denied Christ three times. It doesn't sound like it. But this is the miracle of grace. This is the miracle of love. This is the miracle of transformation from the inside out. Peter didn't back off, and he said, you know, Lord, I know I'm forgiven. I'm going to go and live the way I want. Now he said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And for the rest of my days, I'm going to glorify you. Now, God doesn't call us to be apostles, not these days. But the call is the same, that you and I are called to be followers of Christ and glorify him in everything we do. Everything. There's not one area of life that's beyond his lordship. There's not one area of life that he doesn't address. We have gone to great lengths to redefine what sin is. We've made bad things good these days, haven't we? We redefine what sin is. But we got to come back to the Word of God. But let me tell you how important this restoration was. Read this with me. Praise be to the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us, what's the words? New birth. Into what? A living hope. Through the what? Of Christ from the dead. See, Peter knows if there was no resurrection, he'd have no hope. He wouldn't have experienced the grace and mercy of God through Jesus Christ. not only was he born again, he's given us new birth, but he brings us from darkness to light. That's what the resurrection was all about. He brings us from the darkness of living in sin into the light of his freedom, into a living hope. What's our living hope? If you are a born-again Christian, right now, the promise is that Jesus is making a mansion for you in heaven. Nobody can take that away. No one. No king, no person, no circumstance can take that away. You see, in spite of Peter's miserable failure, God restored him by his grace. I don't know about you, that gives me hope. Listen, too many times we go off and do our own things. We justify them. For instance, I hope I don't step on anybody's toes here, but one of the biggest problems in senior citizen villages is seniors living together outside of wedlock. Did you know that? And I'm talking about, I've encountered people who say they're born again Christians who see nothing wrong with this, and here's how they rationalize it. Well, if we get married, we lose our finances. My response has always been, try to be as polite as possible, grow a backbone, and do what God wants you to do, and trust him to provide. And, you know, when I was younger, and a lot more stupid, I would look at seniors and I'd say, boy, I wish I was there. They have everything figured out. They don't have to deal with temptation anymore. They don't have to, you know, deal with a lot of things. Well, here I am. I'm more than a senior. As Haddon Robinson, the great preacher that taught me a lot, would say, some of my friends who know Jesus are already in heaven. I have my bags packed and waiting to go. Sometimes age doesn't bring wisdom, does it? Sometimes youth doesn't bring wisdom either. Peter went on to do the right thing. He didn't let the failure stop him. He went on to do the right thing. I don't know if he realized it, but ultimately it cost him his life. It cost him his life. But without Peter, many people would not have come to the Lord. Without Paul, who we believe died in Rome, we don't know that for sure. Many people wouldn't have come to the Lord. By making the right decisions and entering into God's will, we know that our life will have purpose. If we don't do that as believers, then we wander around aimlessly. And we sin. We do damage to ourselves. We do damage to others. By the way, I don't know if you realize that there's no such thing as a private sin. We think there is. I have to laugh because I was in law enforcement for a short time in college when I was I worked as a special in the summer times over on the island, and I had to become acquainted with, you know, a lot of the laws. And New Jersey has a list. At least they did have. It might have changed by now, but they had a list of what they call victimless crimes. Victimless crimes. Which was so stupid because there's never a crime that's victimless, right? You know what was on the list? Prostitution. A victimless crime. Well, I'd like to know what a wife thinks of that. Or I'd like to know what kids think of that. It's just a victimless crime. No, it's a sin. And sin hurts the person who does it. It hurts other people because there's ripple effects all the time. There's no such thing as a private sin. Jesus was guilty of public sin, wasn't he? Denied Jesus in public. Three women went to Jesus and said, "You're with him, aren't you?" Peter. I told you how tired I am. Peter, you're one of them. "Oh, no. I don't even know the man." A second young woman goes up and says, "I know you with that Jesus. You talk like him. You have the same accent." "Oh, no, I never knew the man." And the third time, a woman said, "You're one of them." Peter actually swore like a truck driver. Ooh, excuse me, I shouldn't say that. He swore like anyone would swear. And called down curses denying Christ. But God restored him. He restored him. How about me and you? "Well, Pastor," you might say, "it's too late for me." No, it's not. It's never too late. Listen, you know, when we mess up, we're going to endure the consequences of messing up. We know that. So you have a choice. You either mess up and endure those consequences alone, or we come to Jesus and we say, "Lord, I know I messed up. I need your forgiveness, first of all. And then, Lord, you teach me now how to walk through these consequences in a way that glorifies you." Do you know that the other apostles could have said to Peter, "You publicly denied the Lord. We don't even want you anymore." You know why they didn't say that? Because they denied Jesus too, because they ran. And they knew they were in need of the same grace and mercy. If they take away anything from here this morning, it is simply this. Because of the resurrection, you and I have hope. Because of the resurrection, no matter what we have done, God is able to take us and restore us to bring glory for him. You know, I'm going to close in just a minute, but I saw a report of a revival among young people, primarily in the Bible Belt, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But as I'm listening to this, you know, young people coming to know Christ, here's my fear as a pastor. Don't do this advertising, "Here's your get out of hell card free," like in a Monopoly game. The gospel needs to be presented to say to these young people, this is just the beginning of a great journey. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be a great journey. Allow us to help you through that journey. In other words, we need to mentor those who come to know the Lord. Because, you know, like everyone else, we're all diamonds in the rough, right? And sometimes we have to help each other navigate that. That's why we do men's discipleship. That's why we do women's Bible studies. That's why we do any Bible study. To help one another grow. To help, to hold each other accountable lovingly. Not to go on a witch hunt, but to help, you know, people be accountable to one another. Are you glad that we have such a gracious God? No. But realize he's holy also. And that when there's sin in the life of a believer, it must be confessed. It must be dealt with. And we need to receive his restoration. If you're here this morning, you haven't given your life to Christ. That's where it starts. Knowing that he went in your place and mine on the cross to pay a penalty we can never repay. You see, because of our rebellious nature, our sin against God, we deserve hell. Paul says it in a great way. He says, God doesn't condemn you. You condemn yourselves because you refuse to come to his Savior. He offers forgiveness. And everyone would tell you, it's free. All you need to do is repent, turn away from your rebellion, and turn to God by faith through Christ. And you'll be forgiven of your sin. But they would also say it's just the beginning. Now, let's walk in a way that brings glory to our God for this great sacrifice of love that Jesus made for each and every one of us. You see, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know if I have tomorrow, do you? So I need to glorify God today in whatever way I can. So I got to step on some toes before I'm done. Here we go. How do we glorify God daily? In school. By doing what we're supposed to do. Not making trouble, but being good students and doing the best we can in our workplace. Not to be gossips and not to steal. Big problem in the workplace. Stealing. If you were born again Christian and you say, the company will never miss this. They got a whole bunch of money. I just read this morning that Pizza Hut's going bankrupt. Right? Big company. We glorify him in our marriages. And I put that with a capital M. Marriages. We glorify him in parent-child relationships. We glorify him in anything we do. In fact, Paul says it this way. No matter what you do in word or deed, glorify God. And the reason we can do that is stated right up here. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen? God is good. And all the time. Okay. Mama Kristen. And Mama Melissa. Not the Mama Chip. And Sharon, who's a mama also. And a great-grandmama. And a grandmama. I'm going to have mama stuck in my head all day. We have a great song for the end. It's called All the Heavens. We live in a dark world. We know that. What makes the world dark is sin. But one day, Jesus is coming back. And the world's not going to be dark anymore. But in the interim, the commission to the church, us, is go into your world, teaching people who need to know Jesus, everything that Jesus taught you, and then baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In other words, help them come to faith in Christ. Make their faith public. You don't have to be baptized, but it's a good way to say, I'm under new ownership. Jesus owns me now. And that starts off a beautiful journey. Not easy, but beautiful. Would you stand, please? Thank you. As we dismiss from this place, I pray you dismiss us in the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us, Father, to live for you in everything we do. We thank you for your great grace and mercy. And most of all, Father, we thank you for the resurrection. Because without the resurrection, none of us would have hope. You are wonderful. You are holy. You are magnificent. Holy Spirit, help us to tell others about this great love the Father has for us through Jesus Christ. And we'll give you all the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
That's good.